Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers.
Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week, we are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read, Hucky ran towards the hole once Adar was done. Adar intercepted the boy and pulled him back by the arm. The metal will be hot, he said. Let me go, Hucky twisted, attempting to get free. But Adar slung the blaster over his shoulder and held onto the kid with both hands. The women approached, Melinda with a frown on her face that made Adar think she somehow felt he was threatening Hucky's life. He pushed the kid into her arms and went to the hole. Leaning forward, he blew on one of the edges. It appeared to be cool until his breath hit it, and it glowed red. It will take a while for that to cool down, he said. If I had been able to open the door, we would have stepped over the heated portions. Now we will just have to wait. I don't want anybody getting a foolish notion of trying to go through before I say you can. We don't need to risk one of your bodies plugging the hole. You in there? The voice cut Adar off cold. It was Isaac. The tone and the command of his voice could be nobody else. Why don't you come out so I can give your neck a nice slice? You know, the way you did to my brother? Melinda gave Adar an angry look that he ignored as he ushered the group away from the door. Hucky made as if to make a break for it, but Adar grabbed the kid by the arm and pulled him along so that he was out of view. As Adar brought up his blaster, movement came from behind. He was too late. The last thing he remembered was a sense of surprise that it had been Helda and not Melinda that used his discarded blaster to knock him out. And now, Chapter 24. Near came to with a start. It was dark outside and the fire had died down. Only the glow from the embers gave him light to see. Thon's chest continued to move despite the lack of proper medical attention. It was surprising the man hadn't long since died. I wouldn't be stuck in this mess, he thought, if I had killed him when I had the chance. The other men and I would be miles away by now. Instead, Hyrnir was waiting for Thon to die. And the bleeding fool was taking forever to do it. It was the only option at this point. He and Arrow had spent a considerable amount of time giving Thon additional attention after their efforts to find a local healer and had failed. Arrow would notice if Thon had any new or enlarged wounds. Nir closed his eyes, willing himself to go back to sleep, but they popped open and he sat up. Where's Arrow? He thought. He was supposed to have awoken me by now. Arrow had offered to take the first shift, but Nir had refused and made the boy rest. Nir had hesitated for a long time before waking his son. It had gotten to the point that Nir was barely able to keep his eyes open anyway, and he'd been forced to take the risk of leaving his son on guard duty. He arose and stepped outside the doorway, hoping that Arrow had just gone to relieve himself. They had been lucky so far that the former occupants of the home had not returned, but he did not know how much longer that would hold. Arrow had wanted to cover the open space with where the door had been, but Nir had kept him from doing it because he hadn't wanted to advertise their presence. Nir had also moved an overturned table to the fire to keep the flicker of light from reaching those outside. Arrow wasn't anywhere to be seen, and after several deep breaths, Nir went back in and walked through all the rooms of the home before going out what would have been the doorway of the back. It was now a much larger opening than it should have been. Much of the brick wall was now on the floor, and the door had been broken in two. Nir stepped gingerly by the light of the moons to avoid disturbing any of the rubble as he moved outside. A garden had been here before, but it had been trampled. Broken squash and pumpkin littered the ground. He wondered if the Hunwe had intentionally stomped them. A gate was located in a fence at the back of the property, but that had been broken down as well. The privy was off to the side, and even though Nir was certain it would be empty, he still swung the door open to make sure. My boy is going to die and take me with him, Nir thought as he looked into the unoccupied commode. After crossing carefully back to the house, Nir went to the front room where he found Thon groaning softly. His eyes opened when Nir entered. How you feeling? Nir asked, kneeling down beside the man. Why wouldn't he just die? Things would be a lot simpler if the man's heart were to just stop now. Like the mouse the cat got, only I envy the dead mouse. You and me both, Nir thought. We did not have any luck finding you a healer, Nir said. I'll try again in the morning. After their altercation with Adar, they'd stopped back to check on Thon and gone out again, hoping to find a doctor. It had been Arrow's idea. Nir had gone because he'd been wary of Arrow slipping away to go chase after Adar. It turns out my instincts were dead on, he thought. Arrow is gone. Were you awake when he left? Nir asked. No. Nir sighed. Arrow had been furious with Nir for refusing to engage with Adar. After trying several different ways to convince Arrow that Adar was not responsible for what Jorad had done, Nir had given up and tried instead to focus his son toward the task of finding help for Thon. Nir had tested the idea of leaving the city to bring the others to help get Thon out, but Arrow would not hear of it, insisting instead they needed to find treatment. Arrow had outright accused Nir of just wanting Thon to die. Nir had hesitated before his denial, and that had made Arrow all the worse. They hadn't spoken while they trudged through town, asking anybody they saw about a doctor. Their search had ended when a group of Hunwe had sprinted down the road towards them. Arrow and Nir had hidden. Nir had been certain the Hunwe had seen them, but they'd passed on by. After Nir was certain the Hunwe were gone, they'd quickly made their way back to the house. While they had searched, Nir had made sure to examine any of the dead Hunwe they passed, looking for a blaster. Everyone he found had been destroyed. The weapons looked strong. He had been surprised most had been melted. Nir wished again that things had gone differently with Adar. Two blasters had been on the ground when they'd left the man. They had even risked returning, but Nir hadn't been surprised to find the blasters missing. Arrow had sworn and started into a new tirade, promising to kill both Adar and Jorad until Nir had told him to quiet down. Even after that, the boy continued to mumble. Thon closed his eyes. Nir stood, moving to the door and almost wishing the Hunwe would come crashing through it. Maybe they would kill Thon for him, and he could finally get out of this forsaken town. After the better part of an hour had passed with no sign of Arrow, Nir became more concerned. The embers of the fire had almost gone out. Nir had thought of just letting the fire die, but realized he could not let that happen. Unless something fortunate happened, like a bunch of Hunwe trampling through, it was best to make it look like he was doing what he could do to keep Thon alive. Arrow would never forgive him otherwise. After hesitating, he'd stoked the coals and thrown on more wood until the fire was once again roaring on the hearth. After doing that, Nir sat on the front stoop of the house until he'd figured that dawn was a few hours away. Arrow still had not returned, and the fire had burned down to the point that it needed to be tended once again. When he had finished stoking the fire, he noticed Thon's eyes were open, staring blankly at the ceiling. Nir bent over, hoping his friend's time had finally come. When Thon blinked, it took every bit of resolve Nir had to smile down at the man. "Water?" he asked. Thon nodded, almost imperceptibly. Nir went to the bucket and pulled out a ladle, making sure it was a little less than half full. He'd made the mistake of getting too much earlier and had spilled most of it all over Thon's bandages. The man hardly seemed to notice. Nir held the ladle to Thon's quivering lips and slowly poured the liquid into the man's mouth. He completed the task without spilling anything more than what Thon himself let get away. He'd even been able to minimize that by pouring the water in small sips, allowing most of it to run down Thon's throat. When he was done, Nir took a clean rag and daubed off water from Thon's chinks. "Thanks," Thon said, closing his eyes. "I am heading out," Nir stood. "That foolish boy of mine has got it into that thick head of his to take his frustration out on anybody he can find." "Make sure to give Jorad what he gave me," Thon said. Nir nodded in response, but it didn't matter because Thon had not reopened his eyes. A small snore escaped from his lips. Nir wanted to take the rag and cover Thon's mouth until the man stopped breathing. A flash of Brahm's blood-covered chest came to mind. "If the gods are merciful," he thought, "they'll see that this home is on fire by the time I return." Some of the city was on fire, and he had been able to see burning buildings from the porch. "I won't have anything to feel guilty about if he died when I was doing my best to take care of him." To aid his prayer, Nir threw several more logs on the fire before he walked out the door and into the night. "Merciful gods," he thought. "I hardly ever thought about them before. Now that I've killed, I can't keep them out of my mind." When he reached the road, he decided to try the home where Adar had killed the turncoats first. Maybe Arrow was hiding, waiting for Adar to return.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.